We're at the pie company and we're with Tova. Tova, you're the owner, correct?
I am the owner. I'm one of the owners. Jordan Dick is the other owner. Yeah, he bought in a few years ago and he's been here the entire time also.
He bought in a few years ago?
Yeah. Okay. But he's been a cook here and a constant fixture for the whole time too.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. When did you take over? Because someone else started this business.
Yes, Mary Jo started it in 2009. I worked here from about 2011 onwards as a manager, and then I bought it in 2014 when her lease was up and she wanted to move on. So it all worked out nicely for all parties involved. It was kind of somebody just gave the keys to me and then off she went and I stayed.
What made you decide that you wanted to become a pie company owner?
I always really liked working here from when I started, and I felt like I was good at it. It was a challenge. Long story short, I wanted to be a vet tech really badly, and that was what I was kind of trying to go to school for and upgrade, but I'm very allergic to all things that have fur, so I tried to work through it and it wasn't going to work out, and then this opportunity came along at the correct time, so I thought that was a better path for me, and it has been really fun.
Well, that's good.
Challenging, but fun.
Well, you wouldn't have been the first vet in town that was allergic to.
No. I couldn't even get through the vet tech process of it, so I went without inhaling allergy pills and changing my clothes several times an hour, so I thought perhaps it wasn't a great way for me to spend the rest of my life.
Well, that's too bad, but at least you got a really good, thriving company here.
Yes, yes, it all worked out very well, and I had a lot of support from all the people around me. I couldn't have done it without them, and I had a lot of staff who stayed on when I bought it, which was also lovely, because I didn't have to train a whole raft of new people. Everyone was just here. We all just kind of came to work the next day and like nothing had ever changed.
That's good.
Yeah.
When you bought it, was it just one side?
Yes, it was just the main side. And then shortly after I bought it, the lease was up on the flower shop that used to be on this side. So Bill Laird allowed me to lease this side too. And then he allowed me to punch a hole in the wall where he had just built a wall to make it three separate buildings, and we made it one building again. But that was also really lovely of him, because I don't know what we would have done. The place before with just the one main side was very crowded, lots and lots of tables, and they were all crammed in and we were all kind of baking on top of each other, and it added to the stress and the chaos. And having this extra side for storage and production and seating and another door out has been really lovely, especially with COVID came along and then we had a nice circulatory flow going on. So yes, it's been very great to have this side. If the bookstore ever sells, I can imagine we'll just keep moving that direction.
So, I was in here many years ago and I don't remember. He's over here. Is this new as well?
This entire side that we're sitting on is new. So none of this was all, like, from the archway over was not ours. It didn't exist. So yeah, we basically knocked a hole, made the archway, got all of our new units, built the cat. Like, it all happened in the same go. So as soon as we opened this side, all of this was here. There's never been any tables over here. It's always been production and storage, which I'm, yes, very grateful for.
This side will always be production, not for serving. Because this nice bar looks like it would be perfect for serving.
It is. It would be nice. And people do all the time walk in, especially in the summer with the tourists. They don't know, and they think that this is a completely different restaurant, even though it looks identical to the one over there, and there's no obvious sign of service over here. I think we need the production space more than we need another service counter or whatever. We used to have, you could sit along this bar, but then with COVID, we had our shield thingies go up. And now that I think about it, having people sit and be that close to food that we're making is kind of icky. So I don't think we're ever going to do it again. But people stand over here all the time and watch us. So through production line, everyone makes all the pie bottoms and stuff over here. And yeah, I don't think we would be able to make anything if we didn't have this side, because we do a lot over here. And that side's just kind of purely front of house, lots of customer service running around. This is all the, you know, cakes getting iced and cream pies getting topped, and all the mixers are over here, so
everything looks like it's from scratch.
For the very most part, it is. Yeah, we obviously got our bread from Little Red Hen up until very recently. They are actually just closing, which is super sad. So we're switching to Inspired Breads, which is very exciting for us anyways, because we just love bread. We've never made bread here, so we always outsource that to anything that we can find that's good and local. And both of those two companies are amazing, so we're excited to start that up. We just get raw ingredients from all of our suppliers. Get a lot of stuff from Askew's and some from Cisco, Windmill Meats, DeMills, and then we just kind of make everything with them. So hence why there's what appears to be dozens and dozens of people working in here, because everyone has to be making something at some point. We have to make all of our sauces, we have to create all of our cheese, we have to shred all of our beets and carrots, we have to cook all of our chicken and cut it all up. We like, yeah, there's not much that we get that's already made.
People think of pies and they think fruit.
Yes.
And lemon meringue, and we do a lot of different pies.
We do. We have our 6 or 7 staple savory pies that we've made for the entire time, basically. We haven't changed the recipes for any of our pies, basically, for the entire time we've been open. They've been the same core fruit ones and the same core savory ones, with maybe a little amending to the method every, you know, here and there, just with inflation and food costs going up. We kind of have to, like, fluff things around a little bit and see if it's still going to work. But, yeah, and then we kind of have a couple that come in. We have the pierogi pie every now and then that we don't have all the time. And then it goes away. We have a pulled pork pie that we do sometimes, but it's not always here. Yeah, we kind of just... We see what we can find, or if we find really good fresh produce somewhere and we want to make something specific with it just for a day or two, we try to do that. But mostly we just stick with the same ones. We do a lot of wholesale out of this town and also Kamloops and Revelstoke and Cologne, so we kind of have to keep them somewhat the same so we have all the labels and we can ship them out and stuff like that. It would just be a lot of going back and forth and making brand new labels for things that we didn't have and then taking them off the shelves. And it would, yeah, so we stick with the same ones.
So you're not strictly like a standalone business, because if you're shipping pies at out?
Yeah, we have wholesale in Revelstoke, and then a couple stores in Kamloops, a couple stores in Kelowna, a store in Vernon, and we would go farther. We're still small, so to go larger, you have to think about a lot more things. We're kept busy enough here, but with the, again, growing staffing costs and food costs and stuff like that, we kind of have to start thinking about some way to make our food go further and make us more money. And Vancouver and bigger cities is kind of the way to do that. We just kind of have to get there, so we're working on it. But yes, we do have them for sale in a lot of other towns, which is good. And it keeps us busy in the off-season, especially because lots of them are like ski and snowboard areas and whatever. So,
how many staff do you employ in this location?
At this time, I have 25.
Wow.
But only about maybe like 13 of those are full-time. And then everyone else is part-time, which is fine. I mean, it works well for both of us. They have either second jobs or they have supplemental income, but it works out well because then you kind of get some nice fresh faces every couple days and people haven't been here the entire time and they have a new zest for the chaos that goes on. It's good, but I, again, wouldn't be able to do it without all of the staff that we have. There's a lot of us, and there's a reason for it. We just have to make a lot of stuff.
Must be pretty good Christmas parties.
They are pretty fun. It is hard to find the Christmas party venues that will do that many things without just having kind of a dinner. As dinner is kind of, you know, we always go bowling. This year we had a paint and sip. The lady who does a lot of art here, she came in and taught a paint and sip night here, so we just had it here because we also have a couple underage kids, so we can't go do something too crazy because we got some kids with us, but it was really fun. Yeah, it's always about 35-40 people for our Christmas party, so we don't really ever need to combine with anybody. We're busy enough.
When do you start thinking about that?
I mean, I usually try to think about it around like September or October, just because if you wait too long, there's literally nothing you can book. Everyone's already booked up. But this year, like I said, we did the paint and sip and it was here, so we didn't have to book a venue, which saves a lot of money. And the lady was more than happy to do a paint and sip. She had never really done one that big, but it was very fun and it was nice. We just made a bunch of snacks right in our own kitchen. And just easy things like nachos and charcuterie and stuff like that. And people could bring drinks if they wanted. And it was just very, it was very chill. And we didn't have to book a time slot or like pay anybody exorbitant amounts of money except the painter, which was totally fine because everyone got to take home a picture at the end of the day. So yeah, it was really fun. I think it'll be our new, we'll mix it into the bowling because, you know, you can only go bowling so many times. But I do like bowling.
You have some artwork displayed. Is it important for your business to support the arts community? And I have a friend who's actually played music here before.
Yeah, we used to have regular music nights kind of on Thursdays before COVID. It wouldn't be every Thursday, like one a month kind of thing, and it was really fun. We do want to get back into that. We just have had a hard time kind of just getting there. It only could be for the summer seasons. But yeah, we definitely try to keep a lot of art from local artists. We have mostly on that side. This side, everything kind of just stays where it is because I can't see it from the till, and I worry about things growing legs and walking out the door, which can't really happen over there. But people have taken many things. They take these photos, they take the hangers off my bathroom walls, out straight out of the wall and out the door. I'm like, if you just asked, I would have given it to you. But yeah, that said, we have a Becky Luth is one of our main artists. That's the lady who did the paint and sip night. She has probably like 10 paintings over there. They're amazing. Mostly, if anyone asks, for the most part, I will hang them in here if I have room. I don't want to crowd it. So right now we're pretty full. Yeah, we have some local photographers on the other side and a girl who just does yeah, she just has like three little things that people buy them. Cool if they're up, then I'm happy because I don't have empty walls. Mitch Milgram does the stained glass that's in the window. And he's like a regular. He comes in and switches them out, and they're just amazing. And we sell quite a few of them, actually, which is good for him. And again, they're beautiful and nice to look at, and it keeps the windows exciting to look at. And those are two, and then there's three on the other side. They're just incredible. Like, the things he brings in are just, you know, phenomenal talent. And those are Becky's up there, out of the way. Nobody can climb that high, but... Yeah.
Yeah, I like them.
Yeah, they're beautiful. And those are even hers are, yeah, they're mostly of things on like the island, but a very unique way of painting, and they're just incredible to look at.
So community is definitely an important part of your business.
Yes. We open them a lot, and also we're on the main street in the middle of town, take up a giant block. Like we have a very good spot, and we get a lot of locals obviously coming in. Especially in the off season. In the on season, it's a little harder for them because they just want a coffee and a muffin, and there's a lineup out the door, which is obviously good, but I can understand why they don't frequent us as much in August and July. But we try to support as much as possible, as much as within our range kind of thing. We just had the Women's Day event here in March, which was a great success. That was really nice, and we didn't really have to do much except provide the venue, which is pretty easy to do. We're hoping to get it back into live music, like I said, at least a couple times in a month in the summer would be nice, just so we can kind of bring that afternoon crowd back in. You know, it's a pretty good vibe in here. And then for the Roots of Blues, they have, like, they close the street, so I'm assuming they'll have the big to-do down at the Treble Club again, and we'll stay open late for that, which was excellent last year. But yes, we definitely, this community has been very supportive right from the get-go. I kind of keep waiting for everyone to stop liking pie, and they just never do. They just keep coming back. I'm grateful. We got a lot of people asking us to move franchises and open things in Canmore or America. We do it in the summer. The same three people come back and are like, "Are you ready to open in San Francisco yet?" Still no, but but it's flattering.
You're one of the local businesses that are fortunate that you can have the outside dining area. Mm-hmm. And how did that start, and how's that been?
It was kind of one of those things that I think COVID definitely really pushed it through for us, and for Hanoi, and for weekends, and for Meekles. Like, everyone was kind of talking about it, and it was something that no one was really pushing hard. I know lots of people wanted the street closed, which I fully support. I think that'd be super fun to have the street closed, and for 2 months in the summer, that would be, I think it would be fun. Or we could at least try it once, and if it didn't go well, then we would never have to do it again. But trying it once would be pretty fun. But yeah, our patio came about in August of 2020. I think it was August. Yeah, the city just kind of streamlined it, and Bill Laird was pushing really hard for it because obviously we couldn't let anyone inside, so had that set up and built, and it was beautiful, and it was a hit, and now it gets to come out every summer from May to October, which is exciting. It's coming up. It was another 20 seats out there, which is excellent for us in the summer because we just get so full so fast, and again, happy about that, but it is really nice to be able to redirect people outside, and it's a nice little street with Sushi Koten doesn't have one, but they have outdoor seating, and Weekends has nighttime outdoor seating, and we're getting there. We're getting there slowly. We're kind of trying to move towards a more kind of happening downtown, especially in the evenings and stuff like that, but I don't think we'll ever stay open in the evenings unless we have a specific event. But the patio is, it's amazing. I'm happy to be part of that.
Have you heard of the First Friday effort that's coming up? It's sort of an initiative to have some activity after regular business hours. Adana is actually the one who's starting to spearhead the...
Yeah. Just in the summer?
Well, actually, the first one will be April 5th.
Oh, wow.
And so...
Like a week.
Just an extra couple hours after regular business hours just to see how it goes over. But we ask everybody what they think of nighttime hours, and... It's just sort of an attempt to just see how that could go, and hopefully it might catch on. And you mentioned that you don't stay open in the evenings. Would you consider that?
Once a month?
Perhaps, yeah. Especially if we could coincide it with some sort of live music here and make it just with us. Our business generally can't really operate without at least 5 staff members. Like, we can't just leave one person in here and stay open late, or even 2 people. There's too much potentially to do. It just has to be worth it enough for us to make enough money to employ at least 5 staff members, because a lot of places close in the middle of the day. Like, they close from 2 to 4:30 or whatever, which is fine for them, but we probably wouldn't do that because staff wouldn't want to go home and then come back in 2 hours. So we would definitely consider it, especially if there was, if we could have like live music, which is up to us anyways. We could do it if we want to. But yeah, I didn't know about that. So that's, but yeah, I'm sure we would be interested at least in the summer, you know, just make a little bit more food that day. And again, with like between Jordan and I, we can usually, you know, it's like us two, and then maybe we can do it with two other people. It just, it does have the potential to get so busy, and then we don't have enough hands to go around. But we would like that, because I agree. I think downtown should be more busy, especially in the summer. And there are enough dinner restaurants around that should be plausible, and places you can have drinks, cocktails, weekends, meagles, the Mexican restaurant. So it would be nice if there was a little bit of something going on, because it does really die. And I feel sometimes quite bad for the tourists who come down here and they're wandering around and it's a ghost town. But we're just all used to it. But I think it would probably, for some of the shopping places, it would probably be worth it.
What are your hours right now?
We're only open. We're open 8 to 3:30.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So this would be, because Adana's looking at maybe 6 or 7, depending on.
Yeah. So, yeah,
so
I mean,
a few more hours.
Yeah. But it just, yeah, it does just kind of, it makes our, again, it just has to be worth it, just with the, especially the rising cost of staffing. You just can't really afford to be open late unless you're going to be making money. You know, it's just not like it used to be. But that being said, we would definitely be open to trying it. I don't see, you know, a couple tries, or like maybe we don't try it until May, like, so it's like quite summery and warm out, kind of like that. But yeah, I definitely think that that's a good idea.
I think it's a matter of somebody wanted just to get things started, and I mean, you've got to start somewhere with this initiative. So I think that's what's happening with it. So hopefully it takes off.
Yeah, I imagine that the first, the April 5th one might be a little on the slow side, but if people pick up on it, it's just at the moment once a month, just the Friday, first Friday.
First Friday, so. Yeah. Yeah, it's also hard anytime you do something only one time. It's like hard for people to get used to it happening, because then they think like, oh, everything's open late on Fridays, and then they come down the next Friday and everything's closed again, and they're like, oh, something must be wrong. And then it's like, okay, so it's the first Friday of every month kind of thing. So it would have to be something that, I don't know, if the city or like downtown, and they could get on board with it, publicize it a lot, kind of thing like that, like they do with their winter late shopping night and the anything that they want people to kind of all join in on. But I definitely think it's a good idea.
It almost would have to be like a slogan or something. First Friday.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I see you do make individual size pies.
Yep. We make all of our savory pies. We make family size or an individual one for like one person. And then that's what we have for lunch. Every day we cook a bunch of those and have them in our heating cabinet. So you can order that. It comes with slaw. Get a soup with it or whatever and have it hot for lunch. Wow. Or you can take them home and cook them.
Sounds good.
It is good. Yep.
The classic chicken pot pie. And
yeah, we have the classic chicken pot pie. We have a couple beef pies, a pork pie, and we have a couple chicken pies. And then we have a curried veggie pie, which is like a vegan pie. It's just got vegetables and it's phenomenal. It just got coconut milk instead of milk, so it makes it vegan. But it's really good, even if you're not a vegan. That's kind of this side, is like you have a lot of people, everyone, when they're not doing anything, they're just making tart bottoms, and we make meat tart bottoms. We have to make the mini size ones with the edges for like banana creams and the fluted ones, and then so everyone, we have presses for all of those, and we just have to press them out all day every day, so we have
like
enough
that.
Yeah, like that. So it is really fun for people to watch. I think they really like coming over here and standing and waiting for their food, and they kind of see what's going on. The big ones we roll out with rolling pins, but the little ones, that just work so much easier to use the press, which I get from, there's a company in Ontario who makes them, which is really cool. They make a whole bunch of different size ones, and they sell the tins that go in them too if you need them. But yeah, it's a pretty cool company.
What's it like amongst the business community downtown?
Everyone on this street is pretty, not even this street, like Alexander Hudson. There's a lot of camaraderie. People aren't competing, and everyone's on the same page. We have a downtown merchants page. Just for us to cut, people are like, what's your hours on this weekend? What's everyone think of this? Just so we can kind of be on the same page without all meeting in person. Because, I mean, who has time for that? I don't have time for that, really. I'm pretty good friends with the ladies next door, the bookstore ladies. Gerald comes, gets coffee every minute of his life. The whereabouts ladies come over here all the time. We have close personal relationships with Total Office. We get a ton of stuff from them. We go to Askew's probably like 20 times a day. Because we have terrible memories on a trip. We're just like walking down the street, I guess. Half the girls here get sushi for lunch. They get Hungry Panda for lunch. They walk up to Pink Cherry and get lunch. There's definitely a good feeling of belonging. And if we know if we run out of something, I'll get on the phone with the Pink Cherry lady or Eco Pizza Karina or whatever and ask, do you guys have the same thing as us? Can we borrow a sleeve or whatever until our shipment comes? Of course, yes. And same with us. People ask us all the time for, you know, cups or lids or whatever it is, and if we have it, of course they can have it, and then they'll just bring us back a sleeve when they get theirs. And a lot of people who don't work downtown and don't have small businesses in a small town, they're very like, you know, how do you guys feel about the competition? That's not what it's like at all. Like, we want there to be a variety. Variety is good. It makes for a much better downtown. I don't want everyone to come in here for lunch. I want everyone to go other places. The food at all the other downtown places is awesome. Like, I love the wraps and the sandwiches from Pink Cherry. Love gelato. Like, the drinks from Eco Treats. They have excellent little things. We don't have all the same things. We try to keep the positivity and the good vibes, and we're all in this together very much, and it's a nice feeling. Yeah, this kind of the outside view is sometimes a little bit negative. It's very much, oh, you guys, you know, must be hurting because a new coffee shop opened. That's really not what it is at all. We want them to succeed. The downtown is only going to get better if all of the stores downtown succeed. We need this. We aren't going anywhere. We hope that they're not going anywhere. We want them all to be having a good time and making money and enjoying their lives. So it's a great little community to be part of.
How was it leading into the pandemic?
I mean, we kind of had a different situation in early 2020 or March or whatever, because we laid pretty much everyone off, just like everyone else did. But we were able to stay open because we're a wholesaler, because we sell pies to grocery stores or whatever. So we were closed, but we had Jordan, myself, and three other staff members working the entire time. I worked the same or more during COVID than I had. There was no staying home. There was no, like, being quarantined or whatever. I just, like, came to work every day like I always did. I mean, it was pretty fun because there was only five of us and there was no... just no drama. Like, and there was no customers, there was no stress. We just came to work and we just made pie and then we went home. It was, I don't know, it was kind of nice. And then we kind of slowly opened up. We kept everything outside. We had our till kind of at the front door. We didn't let people in, and we kind of wrote our menu to stuff that we could do outside, and we didn't have all of it kind of thing. It was interesting. It was an interesting time. Can't even believe that it happened. But obviously the patio helped a lot. Yeah, and ours takes up two parking spots, so it's quite large. But yeah, it was awesome because we just had our till at the door and people would just order their food and go sit on the patio, and we made it work. We were very fortunate. I mean, we also have a nice awning. Nothing was ever wet. We had a nice patio and the city let us set it up, and they let us keep it set up until almost Thanksgiving. And then for Thanksgiving, we had another system. So I don't know, our COVID experience was a little different, but it did kind of allow us to see some stuff that we did all the time, and we were kind of just like, why do we do this? Like, this only brings us stress and it doesn't bring us that much more, so maybe we just won't do that anymore kind of thing. And it has been fine, you know, but obviously I, you know, much prefer it back to normal as it has been. It's not something that just happens overnight. It's still, you know, kind of coming back to normal, and a lot of people are not traveling as much just because I think things are just too expensive to go spend your money, which is fine. But yeah, that's why we have to do some more wholesale and kind of figure out a way to reach a little farther than just lunch. We used to just have three or four tables on the sidewalk. They were under the awning on the sidewalk, and that was it. But with the patio, it's licensed too, so people can have their drinks that they would have in here. They can take them out and have a beer or a cider on the patio, which is always nice. Nobody ever doesn't want to do that in the summer. So yeah, it was a nice thing to kind of be pushed through the city, and I can't imagine not having the patio now. Just like I can't imagine not having this side now. Any kind of growth we've had has been pretty positive.
Did the fires affect you last year?
Yeah, they did. I mean, they affected everyone. We weren't in the front lines of the North Shore, like, losing our houses, thank God. But, I mean, everyone knows someone, or everyone is directly connected to somebody who was directly affected. So it affected us all as a community, I think. And as far as our business goes, it was usually kind of the last half of August and the first half of September, if not all of September, are very, very busy. There's still a lot of tourists around, and they all went home. Which is, they were told to go home. It's not their fault. There was enough going on here, lots of trauma. We didn't really need them. We didn't want them here, kind of trying to have a good time while we're all having a terrible time. But yeah, so it definitely affected us negatively. It was a really, really dead end of last year, which sucked.
With the tourists gone, but you would have had a lot of the evacuees in town.
We had them, but we had some deals and stuff like that. Making a whole bunch of money off of them wasn't really the goal, but there were a lot of people in town, but they were displaced people, and it wasn't a great vibe. It was kind of more of a just kind of get by kind of vibe. I mean, hopefully this year will be better. It's hard to say because we didn't get a lot of snow, but hopefully it's a wet spring and all the fires can hold off a little bit. But I mean, we'll just take what comes, I guess. Yeah, so it was definitely a bit of a negative, sad, depressing last fall and summer. But again, we didn't get the worst of it. We're happy. We're grateful for not having any of our houses be affected or our livelihood. We still could make it to work, and it could have been a lot worse for a lot of people. And I just am, yeah, it's crushing as a community when you watch everyone go through something like that. You just know it's probably just going to happen again. But I mean, all we can do is keep coming to work and keep trying to be positive and keep supporting our fellow downtown merchants and stuff. And everyone was very understanding, you know, when we had less staff because people were either on warning or on evacuation alert or whatever the issue was, everyone was pretty understanding, as they should be.
You offer some of your products to groups, for example, Food with Friends.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something you and Jordan decided was important, that you would contribute to some of the lesser-known organizations that might need some assistance in providing?
Well, Food with Friends specifically, like Christine has a lot to do with it, so, and I just know her as a personal family friend. She mentioned it or asked, maybe. Food with Friends comes and picks it up every Friday, which is really nice, and the schools sometimes come in and they ask if we have any leftover food, if we can maybe drop it off certain places. Throughout the years, we've kind of done a myriad of different ones, but the Women's Shelter has always been one, and Food with Friends has been one for the last year or whatever. Every day there's always leftover food. There's always things that would be waste, but they shouldn't be waste because they're perfectly good to at least give to somebody. So, I mean, it's easy for us. It's good for them. We don't want it in our freezer. We don't want to be throwing it out, and they come and get it. So it's nice to be able to support less fortunate people, and we have all this stuff to give them. We didn't consciously make a decision and have a meeting.
It's sort of a bonus.
Like, it's just it's a bonus for us too. I mean, we feel like we're not just throwing things out, and we're actually helping a group or multiple groups, and it's probably nice for them to have something slightly, I don't know, a little more exciting to eat. I mean, it's obviously us giving them piles of fruit pie isn't very nutritional, like, so hopefully they're getting other food from other groups that's a little more nutritional, but it is nice to be able to give back a little bit.
I think a lot of places don't think of the dessert end of things.
Well, so it's probably, because kind of obviously it's special. It's not something you need. It's something you get to have if you are lucky enough to have it. So, you know.
It goes over quite well.
Yeah. I know. He's always very happy when he comes in. Oh, look at all this. He's very, and we try to put some, you know, like cheese scones, like muffins and stuff in there too if we have them. But it all is just, it just comes down to what we don't sell that day or like the couple days before or whatever. So it just kind of is luck of the draw. But they're very grateful. And I'm always a big fan of when people just come pick things up and I don't have to drive them around, so I'm down with that. But yeah, they seem like a good group and it seems to be going well. We give our bottles and cans to the lady for the cadets that comes in and picks them up for her. I'm not sure if she works for them or if it's for her. We have a lot to give and we have a lot just kind of sitting around a lot of the time, so it's nice to be able to share it in an efficient way.
Any idea when you might have some music going on here? Because I know we've got a couple of musicians sitting back there, and Jordan's quite a musician.
Well, that's kind of what the music that we would have would be like Liam and Jordan, and it would be kind of Jordan's groups. He seems to play in dozens of groups. He's a very multifaceted man. So yeah, it would hopefully be something that he would put together, and it's honestly just needs to be, we need to make a plan when I make the schedule, so I make a late night, and then it's done and it's set. It's on the horizon, hopefully for like May or something.
Maybe that could be an evening thing.
Definitely, yeah. Especially, I mean, the first Friday I think would be cool, but it always is. Usually we kind of have it at like 5 o'clock. It's like 5 to 7 kind of thing. So it's again, there's that little lull in the middle of the day, but in the summer it went over really well. And if we advertise it properly, there's usually quite a good turnout. And even if people are just sitting having a beer, it's just nice to bring people together and music is always a good time. Everyone likes working the late music nights because then they just get to, for the most part, just kind of hang out and listen to music and, you know, serve the occasional drink, make the occasional sandwich. So soon, hopefully.
Are there any challenges that you found?
Mostly with staff. Like, staffing is just hard. It's just hard to manage that many personalities at the same time. And this is people's, like, first job or second job a lot of the time, not all the time. So it's a lot of just patience and learning and teaching people things that they maybe just never have ever done before that you take for granted. But for the most part, I mean, we've had lovely staff throughout the years, and I, like, remember every single one of them, and it's a cool part of the job to get to know people. You know, you always have ones you really, really like, and then they move on for whatever reason, and I'm never going to meet anyone I like as much as that person, and then here comes 5 more people, and you end up really liking them, too, so it's pretty fun. But mostly, I'd say that would be, like, the largest challenge would be staffing, and now just, like, increased food costs is just so hard to manage. Those are probably the two highest challenges, but I enjoy it for the most part. It's a little challenging. Every day is a little bit of challenge for various reasons, but I've been doing this for so long, it's like a second nature to me, so I think it's probably where I'm going to stay for a while. And obviously Salmonar, I'm really, you know, they support us and we like being here, so I don't see myself moving on. Every time I go on vacation every year, in January, because we close for a week in January, and then I always take that time to go for 3 or 4 week vacation just somewhere in the world with my husband. And every time I leave, frequently when I come back, there's rumors that I've sold it. Or I, like, went to Mexico to look for a buyer. I'm not sure where they think I'm finding these people who want to buy it, in Mexico or Australia or whatever, because I'm always like, that's where I am. It's clear. It's all over my social media. But always come back. People are like, oh, I heard you were selling it. I'm like, oh, I heard you sold. Or I heard you died. Or I heard you were just went on my vacation like I always do. Still not going anywhere. It's just funny. The rumor mill gets really bored in the winter, I guess, and they have to make things up.
I'd heard you just come back from Vietnam.
Yeah.
That's interesting in itself. But when you go to these places, do you ever pick up ideas?
I mean, certain places maybe, but mostly when I go, I mean, I'm never away from work because I always have my phone and I'm always emailing and I'm at my group chat with my managers. Everyone's filling me in, so I'm not worried that things are going poorly or whatever. But I usually just go traveling just to try to disconnect a little bit. And I look forward to it every year, just not thinking about anything that has a business related to it. I just go and try to enjoy food and enjoy the culture and get some sun maybe and just kind of walk a lot. It's more of like a decompressing, not a idea search. But sometimes, I mean, you just kind of see stuff, especially, I mean, like Australia and New Zealand have a lot of cool cafes, just the way they're laid out and the menu styles and stuff like that. Yeah, I don't really ever look for any sort of inspiration or anything. I try to go and just detach. I think it's very necessary because I have a hard time detaching when I'm here. Even when I'm here, I'm just thinking about what's happening over there. I don't really think that that's ever the purpose of my, and nor does it come from my trips. I just mostly try to go and just enjoy myself and enjoy my company, and everything here is always fine. My managers are awesome. My staff is awesome. It's winter, so it's the slowest possible time. Nothing happens. It's very boring.
Does the pie company have social media?
Yeah, we have Instagram and Facebook, and we have a website. Has our base menu on it and kind of ideas, but it just says call us to talk to us because I'm not updating their website every 5 seconds when they change things, and it doesn't have any prices on it or anything. Just kind of like our base menu of like what we always have, and it'll say call for soups, call for today's treats. And then our Facebook and Instagram, I try to keep that updated. Like that's what I post things on daily, or at least a couple times a week to try. I don't have a social media manager. I mean, I'm sure I could use one, but I don't think that I really need one. I have my phone in my hand all day, every single day, so I can do a pretty good job of posting, you know, specials and anything that we're doing and anything that I want people to know kind of thing. So it works out relatively well. They're just linked together, so like anything I share, I want to get shared to the other one, and we get a lot of traffic on them.
Can people do any ordering online?
No. I mean, they can message me on Facebook Messenger or the Pie Company or whatever, or on Instagram Messenger, or email me and put an order in or ask for whatever, and I'll answer them pretty much immediately and put it in the book. But we don't have any online ordering forum that an order comes in, because I just like have a conversation with the people. I'm sure there's a way to make it so, but I like having a connection with them. I just like talking to the person and being able to explain things to them and ask them specific questions. Sometimes they have a question that isn't clearly answered anywhere, and if it's not super busy or they give me enough time or whatever, we can basically do anything, even if it's not on our order form. If I can do it, or if I can deliver it, if I can build it, if I ask my bakers if they think it's possible, then I'm happy to do it. But often I need more detail than online can give me, so it's easier just to talk to them.
Do you get groups that order a lot of pies for a particular...
Yeah, we cater weddings like all the time. People get pie for weddings a surprising amount more than they get cakes, but they also get cupcakes. Like, we do lots of cupcakes for weddings, but just lots of people love pie for weddings.
Is it more than pies?
Yeah, we do everything. We have 3 cakes we make regularly. Like, if you pre-order them 2 days in advance, we'll make those. We make cupcakes all the time. You know, cookies, cinnamon buns, cinnamon bars, muffins, obviously pie. People call us and ask if we'll make a pie that's not on our menu, and we generally will. Again, if you give us a little warning, we can do whatever you want. But yeah, we get a lot of catering for weddings or like events or lunches, just like from around town, a lot of sandwiches or soups or individual meat pies or salads or whatever. But again, mostly I'm just telephone, call us, or email me, because then I have it all in writing. You can clearly ask what you want, and I can clearly explain to you, and there's nothing lost in translation or you expecting something you're not going to get. So I just find that's easier.
What's the best way for people to contact you if they wanted to discuss something?
Always email. I mean, telephone call, and then leave a message, and then we'll get back to you if we don't answer the phone right away. But email is just the easiest because it comes straight to my phone.
What's your email?
It's shoeswap.pie@gmail.com.
And the phone number?
All lowercase. The Pie Company number is 250-832-7992. And it's always a good idea just to call us. And also, our voicemail has our hours on it, as does all of our social media. So if we're ever closed at weird times or something had to happen and we had to close early, which doesn't happen very often, but we usually close the Tuesday after long weekends in lieu of the Friday or Saturday, because we never close Friday or Saturday ever. oftentimes people won't know that we're closed that Tuesday. Why would they? Because it's weird, but it's on our social media and it's on our phone message and it's on our doors. But it's a good idea to just call and ask, because I always feel very bad when people drive all the way here from somewhere and we're closed. It's sad, but I do try to get the word out, and we like having 3-day weekends every now and then too.
Yes.
You know, who doesn't?
Really?
Thank you.
Thank you for talking.
You're welcome. Thank you for inviting me on your show.